Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to today's edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the call today is Tracy Robillard from the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service. Tracy, you're the Public Affairs Specialist. Is that the right title?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, well, welcome and thanks for joining me this morning. We are going to talk about no-till November. We are going to talk about USDA in general. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. But I have just a couple of quick reminders to listeners. It's the end of the month. It's that time of year when folks are planning their holiday meals. And I just want to remind everybody to look for as much local products to place on your table this year as possible. It really does have an impact on our agriculture community when we all spend a little bit more of our funds each week on local products. So look for local. I also think, Mike, I think it's like, you know, Mike is off in the distance listening, but I think it's like 4, maybe 5 years that we've been doing the radio show now. We started it around this time of year. So I just want to thank Radio Free Palmer and listeners for supporting Ag Matters. It's been really fun to tell agricultural stories from across the state every week for a couple of years now. I think four or five years. I can't even remember. But we launched the show. I launched the show around this time of year with food in mind. And so just another friendly reminder to folks that, you know, spending locally on your food, on your gifts, et cetera, it really does make a difference. And we hope that you do that. If you have trouble resourcing, finding local products for your holiday meal, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email at Alaska Farmland Trust. I will help you find local birds, local potatoes, local whatever you're looking for. So thanks for the continued support. Tracy, welcome again. Thanks for being here. I want to start the show how I start all my shows, which is asking my guests, how did you get to Alaska and how did you get involved with Alaska agriculture?
Sure thing. Well, I've been involved in agriculture with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. That's the agency I work for. And I worked with them in Oregon. And then the opportunity came up for a public affairs specialist here in Alaska. And I just jumped at the opportunity. And Alaska has always been a goal of mine to live and work in such a beautiful state where there's abundant natural resources. And especially as a conservation agency, our role in protecting those natural resources and keeping sustainable agriculture here is really important to me and the people that I work with.
Outstanding. So, how long have you been up here now, Tracy?
It's been a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So still a little fresh, and we share Oregon roots. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm from the southern Oregon coast. I have Oregon guests on the show every once in a while, and sometimes when I'm back in Oregon, I record the show from down there. So cheers to Oregon. It's a lovely time of year to be in Oregon. I'd rather be down there this week than here, if I'm being honest. It's been so darn cold. But yeah, I didn't know that about you. So welcome again to Alaska. Let's go ahead and dive in, because our half hour will go by pretty fast. The catalyst for having you on the show today, Tracy, was Lee from here at the Radio Free Palmer radio station saw an announcement about no-till November. And she said, Amy, are you going to talk about this? Are you going to have someone on the show to talk about no-till November and what it means? And I said, sure. So the way things work out, here we are now. Tell me, what is no-till November, and why does USDA and NRCS want to spread that message?
Sure. So maybe we've heard of No Shave November.
So yes.
No Till November is kind of, it's a similar concept to No Shave November, where, you know, folks would let your beard grow, don't shave the whole month, and it's a way to raise awareness for cancer. So it's the same concept, but we're taking that approach for agriculture and soil health. No Till November. You know, in other parts of the United States, November is a time where producers would pull out the tillage equipment and till the land. Not so much in Alaska. It's, you know, our snows are here, the ground is frozen. You'd be really hard-pressed to try and till right now, but it is a time where a lot of our producers in Alaska are planning ahead for next year.
Absolutely.
And thinking about next year. And so we still think no-till November is relevant here in Alaska to get folks thinking about what they can do to take better care of their soil and to feed that complex web of soil, soil microbiology.
Sure.
So that's really what the campaign is about. So obviously, no-till is a big part of the campaign. That could also mean just looking at ways you can minimize disturbance on your soil. And then there's a couple other NRCS principles of soil health that feed into that. So it's not all about no-till, but that is a big part of the campaign.
Absolutely. Well, I like the catchiness of it, and I like spreading the word about that. Of course, USDA and NRCS are big partners with the work that we do at Alaska Farmland Trust, and we're always campaigning about Save the Soil and Soil Matters. And I've recently been brainstorming with a marketing guru about. Folks are so inclined to help save salmon habitat, right? Like salmon habitat is so important. People understand that. And so I've been having this conversation with a marketing friend of mine. Well, how do we get people to care about carrot habitat? Like, carrot habitat matters too, or potato habitat or whatever we're talking about. So obviously that's right up your guys' alley with this whole, soil disturbances and minimizing that. For folks that, are listening and they're thinking, well, what does that mean though? Like, so to break it down a little bit, tilling is like plowing the soil, right? Turning the soil over, running equipment across it. And like you said, disturbing it, et cetera. So talk to me a little bit about this perspective shift where reducing that tillage or minimizing the disturbance, why is that a good thing? Now, I will say that I've had guests on the show before, like Jeff Lowenfels, who's a soil guru in Anchorage, and Eric Johnson from the State Division of Agriculture has been in to talk about different soil types. So listeners are a little bit familiar with, talking about what's happening below the ground, but let's hear it from your perspective. Why is USDA encouraging folks to minimize that disturbance?
Sure. Yeah. So no-till, it's really not a new concept. I mean, this is part of regenerative agriculture that's been in play for decades. So it's really kind of a resurgence of some of these practices that generations before us were doing. And so when we talk about tillage, the main problem with tillage is that it destroys the aggregates in our soil structure. And aggregation is essentially the glue in soil particles that will hold it together. And those soil aggregates provide habitats for billions of soil microorganisms. So every time we till, we're essentially destroying that habitat for soil microorganisms. And so what a lot of folks may not know is the soil is a living, breathing ecosystem. And in just one teaspoon of healthy soil, you could have over a billion living things.
Wow.
So it's really fascinating just all the life that takes place in the soil that scientists are still discovering. There's
Absolutely.
Still a lot we don't know about it. But that life system is, a system of bacteria and fungi, protozoa, nematodes. And so, we think of when we take care of our soil, think of it like you're a zookeeper. And you have to take care of these billions of microorganisms that are alive in that soil. So tilling destroys the habitat for them. And you also see other negative effects of too much tilling that can come in the form of degraded organic matter in your soil or lower amounts of water infiltration. So those are the big reasons that we promote no-till or low till systems. Sometimes
sure.
a little bit of tillage is necessary, and that's okay. Our message is really take a look at the amount of tilling you're doing, and there are ways you could scale back on some of that. And so tillage, it can reduce your organic matter, and it can increase soil erosion, which in turn, all of those things can reduce the sustainability of our food production system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It all adds up and works together. A quick reminder to folks, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And this morning I'm chatting with Tracy from the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. Tracy, I forgot to ask, are you based here in Palmer? Is that correct?
Yeah. okay. in Palmer.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Before we forget, let's talk a little bit. Like I understand that these aren't new concepts, but I feel like they might be new to some of our listeners, or people might be hearing this for the first time and thinking, oh, that is an interesting concept. I turn my soil over at the end of the season every year, and that's just a practice that I've always done. My understanding is that NRCS would love to chat with landowners about, you mentioned that maybe no-till isn't an option for some farms, but ways of reducing your till or moving towards low-till. So correct me if I'm wrong, NRCS has lots of resources and is interested in and wanting to work with as many landowners as possible to take a look at their practices and provide some conservation resources, correct?
Sure do. Yep. And if you're growing food in Alaska, you are eligible to work with NRCS. And we do offer technical assistance and financial assistance to farmers, ranchers, forest owners. And so part of that is our staff could come out and walk your property with you, take a look at your operation, and make some recommendations on the health of your soil. So we could look at what's going on with your soil if you're having some issues with erosion, or we could look at your levels of compaction in the soil, your organic matter levels. We can look at all this and recommend what we call conservation practices to help you improve the health of that soil. And so for us, no-till or low-till is a conservation practice. So we could give you some financial incentives to help you switch to a reduced tillage system. Another component that seems to always go with no-till is cover crops. If your soil is really healthy, chances are you don't want to see your soil. You want to always keep it covered and keep a living root in that soil as much of the year as possible. And so cover crops allow us to plant a crop that's typically not something you're going to harvest, but you're planting it for the sole purpose of nourishing that soil microbiology. There are costs associated with taking land out of production and putting it into a cover crop. So we recognize that, and so we offer a financial incentive to help producers offset that cost and fine-tune what types of cover crops are going to work best here in Alaska on their soils. So our assistance, it is no-till. It's also cover crops. It's also crop rotations. I'm kind of throwing a lot of things out here.
Yeah, no, this is great.
You know, there are a lot of different conservation practices you can do to enhance your soil biology. And so crop rotations is, you know, we never want to leave the same field growing the same crop year after year after year. That can weaken the resistance of your soils to pests and disease, and it can deplete your organic matter over time. So we recommend, you know, we can work with you to develop, you know, what's an ideal rotation for your property. And we've done this on, you know, smaller scale operations or growers who are growing inside a high tunnel or a hoop house, you know. So it doesn't have to be a huge, you know, what you think of as traditional farm and cropland. This could be more of a backyard garden type setup where you're rotating what you're growing in your different garden beds. And then we can incorporate some either cover crops or some other types of cover like mulch, for example.
Sure.
So all of these conservation activities work together to help protect that soil biology.
Absolutely. You've kind of got my wheels spinning, of course. And I'm thinking about that statement that you made earlier on where a typical teaspoon of soil could have over a billion microorganisms in it. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
More, there are more living things in a teaspoon of soil than people on the planet.
Wow. Yeah, that's so like, it's just fascinating to me. Like when I hear soil scientists that are really passionate about their work and you are passing this same sort of feeling along, when I hear people talk about the soil, it's almost like when you hear scientists talk about space, it's unfathomable to the human brain what's actually going on under the soil. It's similar to like what's going out with those stars, right? But so when you were talking about how typically – if we can see the soil, we maybe aren't implementing as many practices as we could to protect that soil, because if I can see the open soil, then it can be blowing away or it could be washed away water, et cetera. So this idea of cover crops to assist in that conservation practice totally makes sense to me. I'm looking out the window at the radio studio right now, and there's snow on the ground, of course. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. So the ground's frozen. If the ground's frozen and there's a cover of snow on it, are we still as concerned about a cover crop because didn't everything go to sleep for the winter? Or talk to me about what's happening in the soil in Alaska, you know, because in my silly brain is going, well, wait a minute, it's all frozen, it doesn't matter, right? But tell me why it matters.
Sure, it totally does. So you may not think it matters now, but wait till breakup gets here and you are going to see real quick, if you don't have a living root in that soil, it is going to run off.
Right.
So you know, even though your plants that you have under that snow may go dormant, they are still living roots in the soil. So it's all about in Alaska finding the right mix,
sure,
finding the right roots that are still going to provide a benefit to the soil even in the winter, or species that will overwinter here. So then as soon as our temperatures start warming in the spring, boom, you got a root that's just ready to go and start providing some soil armor. So we've done some cover crop trials here in Palmer over at our Plant Material Center. I believe we're on year 6 of that trial. And that trial is, we're trying to find what kind of cover crops are going to work in our unique climate here in Alaska. We can look at what farmers are doing in other parts of the country, in the Midwest, and they've really got it dialed in. But our conditions are just vastly different up here. So that trial is looking at oat and Austrian field pea as a cover crop. And then we're also doing a couple other mixes using oats with the field peas and then adding in a tillage radish and buckwheat.
Okay.
So that's a four species mix. And then we've also got some plots that are looking at a 6 species mix, which is all those things I just mentioned, plus we're adding in an annual rye and Denali alfalfa.
Okay.
So we're kind of, you know, and we've got a couple other trials going on, well, more than a couple, across the state. So our soil and water conservation districts are phenomenal partners with working with NRCS and with landowners. So they are also doing some cover crop trials in their communities.
Awesome.
But anyway, I say all that to say we are figuring that out here in Alaska. But what we can say is from this trial in Palmer, we are already seeing some benefits. And primarily, we're seeing those benefits in 3 areas: weed control, mm-hmm, soil structure, and water infiltration. So
okay,
we've been able to see, because we've kept these soils covered, we're having less invasive weeds coming up in our crop areas. And a lot of that is because if you have a diverse mix of cover crops, it's going to outcompete some of those weeds.
Yeah.
Not always, but in some cases. And then we've seen some improved soil structure. So instead of having a platy soil, which platy is exactly what it sounds like, think of just layers of a concrete plate just stacked on top of each other.
Okay.
You know, something just really hard and platy, that's not going to be good for growing food, because you're just going to have a lot of compaction and water's not going to be able to get down there and infiltrate. But we've seen in these trials with cover crops that platy is shifting over to granular structure.
Okay.
And granular is, you know, think about just a handful of just crumbly, dark, healthy soil that has lots of aggregates. So that's the type of soil we want to see. It's soft. It's spongy almost.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's, you know, and so that type of soil is going to hold on to more water.
Sure.
And then with that last benefit we are seeing with the infiltration, that ties directly into an improved structure and more organic matter. So water is able to seep deeper into that soil profile, where you're going to get the most benefit to what you're growing.
Right.
So it really, it's all about just finding the right species that will overwinter here in Alaska. And we've got farmers who are doing this and seeing results. So we're just hoping to take the message more broadly and get other folks interested in this.
Absolutely. Well, I'm fascinated, and I've got a list of questions again that are kind of rolling through my head. But another quick reminder to folks, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and I'm chatting with Tracy from the USDA NRCS this morning. We're talking about the benefits of cover cropping and why some farmers are taking up this practice. We're talking about the potential also for cost share or assistance, financial assistance. So, you know, when you were talking about these trials of cover crops are showing benefits, you know, the results are in or are coming in, and there are benefits to improved soil health. But you also have to wear your farmer cap for a minute and think, well, wait a minute. It cost me extra money to, you know, plant that cover crop. I may have to, you know, what am I doing with that cover crop in this spring? Am I having to knock it down, or am I turning it under, like, you know, that's additional tractor time? But what I'm hearing you say is that the results are showing that by implementing this cover crop, the landowners are seeing benefits in the following years, right? And there's that potential for USDA cost share or assistance to cover some of those costs. Is that correct?
Certainly. And the biggest cost perspective of cover crops is a lot of producers are putting inputs into the soil for weed control or a number of other things.
Sure.
You know, inputs, those are expensive. That's a lot of money going on your field. So the goal with cover crops is once you fine tune your recipe, is you can have nature do that work for you.
Sure. Yeah.
So you can reduce that amount of inputs that you're putting onto the field. And we've got farmers who are doing that, and they've really slashed their input cost. It's just phenomenal. And they've slashed their labor cost, because now if they're doing a no-till drill and they're using a cover crop system, they don't require nearly as many, as much labor. They're not doing nearly as many passes with the tractor.
Sure.
It can be a win-win. We like to tell folks to think about it like, you're saving money, but it's going to take, you know, you might, I don't want to say lose a little money, but you know, you're going to have to put some money up front for the cover crops and to take some of your land out of production. And that's why our financial incentives are just so big, because that can really make or break a producer's willingness to do it from a cost perspective. But then once you figure it out, you can have nature do a lot of that work for you and save money on those inputs.
Yeah. And you guys are demonstrating that it works. I saw on one of the websites, or maybe it was a flyer that went out, but there was some coverage about the success that Bryce Wrigley has seen up in Delta Junction with Alaska Flower Company and his no-till success. So clearly it works, and it can work for more producers, and I'm excited that we're telling more people about it. Tracy, the next obvious question is, how do people learn more? What website do they go to? Who do they call? Like, let's give people all the details about where they go for more information.
Sure thing. Yes, find us online, NRCS Alaska. Our web address is ak.nrcs.usda.gov. And we have an office in Wasilla, and that is our customer-facing office, working with producers here in the Mat-Su Valley. We also have offices in other parts of the state. So go on the website, take a look. You'll see our field office directory, contact a service center near you. And the next step is getting a conservation planner from NRCS out to your property. We provide that service free of charge. We'll just walk the land with you and look at your natural resource concerns. And that's really critical, because, you know, you may not have a problem with soil erosion, or, you know, your organic matter may already be really good. So we need to just kind of look and see where you're at and make some recommendations to help you get where you want to be.
Sure. I love it. I love it. It's what a great resource. And again, exciting that it's showing some positive results for soil health. Of course, obviously, that's Alaska Farmland Trust's primary mission is protecting that soil. And so we're thankful to have you guys as a resource for our producers. Tracy, we're getting short on time, and I do have a kind of a series of questions that I like to ask all my guests towards the end of the show. So before I jump into that, are there any other messaging, any other NRCS announcements or things that you want to be sure to share with folks before we kind of start wrapping things up?
Sure. You know, one thing I'd like to emphasize when we're talking about all of this is, you know, we're all consumers. We all eat. We all, you know, even if you're not the one eating the carrot in the carrot habitat, there's probably other things you're eating that were directly grown into the soil. And so, one, it's really important to think about how these soil health farming practices help increase the nutrients in
sure.
the food
yeah.
that we're eating. And there's, you know, there's a lot of information out there, a lot of good books and reports about that. But it's really important to think about that, you know, maybe this carrot I'm eating, I'm going to get way more nutrients out of it because it was farmed using practices that promote healthy soil biology.
Absolutely.
And that's something that, you know, just directly affects every single one of us and what we eat and the nutrients in our food. So,
yep. I can't agree with you more on that. My guest last week, I'm not sure if you caught last week's show, but I was speaking with Dr. Jill Valerius here in Palmer. She and I had both read the book Pharmacology. I don't know if that's on your list of reading yet, but it's a great book about the similarities between farm health, soil health, and human health, and you know how what we eat really does impact our lives. So great messaging there. All right, Tracy, let's wrap things up with this rapid fire questions at the end. So you haven't been in Alaska long, but if you weren't doing this job here in Alaska, where would you rather be?
Well, maybe I'd be in Oregon. Oregon was pretty awesome, but,
yeah.
you know, I'm not even at a place where I can think about leaving Alaska.
Oh, sure.
So, I love it here so much.
Give it a few more winters. No, I'm just teasing.
Right.
teasing. Yep. Okay. Tracy, in your line of work, have you landed on or found either an Alaskan mentor or maybe even broaden it out a little bit, a USDA mentor, someone that you turn to for advice about the work that you do?
I do. I have a mentor with NRCS. She is actually the public affairs specialist in Vermont.
Okay.
And
very good.
She has been with the agency for 20 years. So I meet with her frequently
and
it's a really good relationship. But in Alaska, I also have a couple of my co-workers are also mentors to me, and I particularly appreciate Alan McDee, our state conservationist.
Sure.
And he's relatively new also, but he's been a great mentor to me as well.
Outstanding. Do you have a favorite resource that you like to turn to, like a periodical, a magazine? Is there a great agriculture-related book that you've read that you'd point folks to?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the Homer Grown radio program.
Okay.
And only because I was first introduced to that with some of our staff did some interviews with the radio program, and they focus on ag issues similar to this program.
Okay, great.
So that's one that I follow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Final question. What's your favorite thing to eat? What's your favorite Alaska grown or harvested thing to eat this time of year?
Oh, I love my Alaska-grown carrot.
Yeah, don't we all, right?
Before our interview, I just ate some. I don't even need ranch dressing. They're that good.
That's right. Do you eat them in any non-traditional ways? Are you a carrot roaster, or do you do anything different with your carrots?
I just like them raw.
Okay.
I love them raw.
Yep.
Because I don't do potato chips.
Oh,
so carrots
okay.
are like nature's potato chips for me, I suppose.
That's right.
Nice and crunchy.
And a delivery system for hummus or dips of other sorts, right? Well, Tracy,
sure
it's been a pleasure learning more about No-Till November and the other resources available through Alaska's NRCS office. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me.
Thank you so much, Amy. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.